hope so. But I hope we're full of expectation this evening. It's, I do welcome everybody here. If you're visiting particularly, welcome. And we have got the privilege this evening of hearing something of what God is doing in our great city of London. Not so far away, but perhaps very different from many of our experiences. Adrian is a young man, one of our members here, who's been working for a year with the London City Mission, and he's come up with the team he's been working for, under, with, however you put that. And so it's a great privilege to hand over to them, and I'll do that now. Thanks, Emmanuel, particularly, first of all.
Yes, nice to be with you. Thank you for inviting us, and thank you for sending Adrian to us. He has been working really hard, and he's really done well, and we are amazed at his all the performance he has given us in all the talks, and he has taken part in schools work, assemblies, and all these things. And we do want to say thank you to you for sending him, and for your love and prayer for him, and for the work of the London City Mission, for the gospel that we've been able to share with the people of Greenwich. So we want to thank you for your prayers, for your financial support as well, for the mission and God's work. So, yeah, let's just start, because as we worship God, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you and talk to you, and we can just open our mouth and we can pray to you, and we know that you hear our prayers. And Lord, as we worship you, we pray that we'll worship you with all our hearts and minds. And Lord, be with us as we worship you, as we sing songs, that they will come from our hearts, and we will worship you with not just singing words from our voice, but we'll sing it from our heart. And as we hear about the work, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to many people here, and they would know what you want them to know. We ask this all in your holy name. Amen. Yeah, let's worship God by singing My Jesus, My Savior. Yeah, there are lots of things we do at Greenwich Randall Christian Center, and there are some of the things that we all will share, and we all are involved in most of the things. And I'm going to share with you something about the family night. We started, I have a slide, yeah. Family night. We do it every Tuesday at 7. We start, and when we started, we said that we will do it from 7 to 8:30. But people liked it so much that they didn't want to leave till about 9 o'clock. So at 9, we said that they have to go. So they, because we wanted to close the center, and but they wanted to stay, and they really enjoyed. And we started this with the Bible studies. We had been working with children and young people, and we wanted to make some contact with their parents. So we thought that we will invite the parents, and we made the condition that all the children, they have to come with an adult. So children, they persuaded their mothers and dads and mums and grandparents, carers to come and to the center. And that's been going really well. We didn't know most of the parents before as well, but it gave us more sort of closer knowledge. And we cook a meal every Tuesday. And there is a couple that comes every second Tuesday, and they provide the meal as well, Margaret and Ian. So, and 1 week we provide from the center. I cook the meal for about 30 plus people, and last Tuesday we had about 40 plus people, and we are really encouraged. There are new people coming, and it's our hall is not as big as this church. We are quite small, so if there are 50 people in the hall, that really feels very busy. So, yeah, we want to thank you, God, for bringing all these people. All these people are the people that they are not churchgoers. That's Jane over there, Lynn and Sinead, and you can see the in the top slide, top right, they're having a meal there. So, yeah, so that's one of the things we do. And we have a really relaxed atmosphere where people come, they play board games or just relax, chat, play chess, and we also have quizzes. Just last Tuesday we had a newspaper quiz, and it was so close, the score, that they were quite excited about the whole thing. So it was like 17, 18, 16, 17, so it was just half a point away. So we give to the winner, we give a Freddo bar. So they all wanted a Freddo bar. They thought it's only half a point or 1 point. So we did give it to two teams. So, yeah. But obviously the aim is to share our faith with these people. And during that, we have a time where we have a time where we share the gospel with them. And when they first heard the gospel, they weren't used to going to churches where they sit nicely like everybody's here and listen. They were all talking to each other, and over the years, over maybe 2 years, I suppose, we have trained them, and now they do listen. And we tell them that again and again, we tell them we would appreciate that you respect this time. We want you to come. We enjoy being with you, and we want you to have fun, but we want you to respect this time. So this last Tuesday, Adrian was doing the talk, and everybody was really listening to him, so we were really very encouraged about the talk as well, and all of them really listening. So yeah, please pray that God has given us so many people to come to, but we have built up good friendships, we have known them really well, but we would also like not them just to listen to the message, but really know Christ as their personal Savior. So another thing is one of the things, actually, it's not on every Wednesday anymore. It's on Monday. We recently changed it, but we forgot to change this slide. we changed it from Monday, from Wednesday to Monday, because Wednesday we have lots of meeting at headquarters and other meetings, and we had to cancel it a few times. So we have changed it to Monday now, and we get quite a few girls, about anywhere between 6 to 10, and sometimes even 10 plus. And they come and sit down, and they have a questionnaire that we have questions, and we discuss with them those questions, and then they write down the answers and ask questions, listen, and share their doubts and things. So, yeah, it's been really great the way it's been going. We have it for both boys and girls, but mainly we get girls coming to that. Occasionally, we have one or two boys who have turned up, but mainly it's girls. And it's really encouraging to see some of the pictures. Later you will see there is a girl, Naomi, who has appeared in this some of these slides. And she has been asking so many questions. She says she believes that Christ died for her. And one thing she cannot believe, that God created the world. So we've been... did the Bible studies on creation as well with her, and recently she has been changing her views on creation. So, yeah, please pray for these children as well, because obviously when they go to school and there is a lot of influence of different other theory of evolution or so on, so that as we give them the truth, that God will change them, and we praise God that we have opportunity to influence these children, and we pray that that will stay with them. So this is Monday club now, 3:30 to 4:30. When they come in, we give them a drink and a toast. So because they just come straight from the school, so we give them that, and then we have about from 10 to 4 to half 4, we have the Bible studies. And another thing we do, we've been doing football. So just last Saturday, we played Croydon. We went to Croydon, we hired a minibus, we took 13 boys to play football against Croydon, and that certainly is to make contact with the people, children, young people, youth. So we had age between 10 and 14. And we went there and we played, and we didn't have any talk or any spiritual sort of direct input, but that's one way of building. A lot of those boys come to our boys' club as well. And these are some sort of things we do occasionally. We sometimes also do, like it says here, 16 plus, so some of the boys, we take them. Sometimes ago, we played Bermondsey, we play in Greenwich Park, we go to some other places. There is a nice little basketball rec, it's called, and we play there with the boys. And it's a way of building contact, keeping contact with these older boys who have been to our center, younger clubs, and then now they are not coming to the center most of the time, so we keep in touch with them. So, these are some of the things. Later on, we will share more about the work in Greenwich with you. So before we do that, let's sing another hymn.
Well, Emmanuel's already said, and I said this morning as well, how grateful we are that we've had Adrian working with us, and we wouldn't have been able to do probably even half of what we've been able to do without him. And we're just really grateful to you and to God for him. Okay, school's work. One of the things that I really love about my job is being able to go into school and just to be able to share God's word with so many children. And it's not just the children, but it's the teachers as well. And we've been able to do RE lessons. We do 4 classes a week. We do a lunch club for 40 children with Bible stories and quizzes and games and competitions and things like that. And we also, Adrian and I, every Tuesday morning we go into the school and we have all the teachers and all the children in, including the head teacher most weeks, and we're able to share a Bible story and some message from the Bible which is relevant for them today. And it's really good fun, and if you went there you would fall in love with all the kids because they're so gorgeous. And last week or the week before, they had a volunteers like special service to say thank you to everyone who comes into the school unpaid. And about 15 people had gone up before us and they'd got the handshake and the certificate. And then they called out Adrian's name and the kids went wild. And even the head teacher was like, ooh, like this, you know. So, I don't know how Adrian feels, but sometimes you're not really sure how you're being received or whatever. Although the kids are very sort of huggy as soon as you walk through into the playground. But that was, I'm really pleased for him because that was a sign from the children themselves, you know, that they really have loved having him in the school and have really appreciated him. And David came into the school with us as well. And able to see a little bit of our lessons, weren't you? And to be hugged by children and chatted to and that. And you can see as well by the sort of the race of the children. In this particular class, we took them, they were doing a topic about why do Christians go to church? What do they do in church? What does it mean to them? So we took them to a church across the road and we had all these activities that they had to do. But you can see there's only 2 white children in the whole class. And in the school, there's probably about 10. 10 white children in the whole school. And then we have another school right next to us. And that's probably 60-40% mixed races. But we really, really love it. And we often meet the children outside of school. And they're on the estate with their parents. They go to the we go to the local shop to buy something, and then they're there, and there's like, oh, hello, Emmanuel, hello, Leslie, hello, Adrian. And the parents sort of look at you a bit strange, like, oh, who are you talking to my child? And we're able to say, oh, actually, you know, we're going to, don't worry, we're going to their school. They know us, we teach them in school about the Bible. And then we are able to point to where the centre is and say, oh, look, you know, we run after school clubs. And then some of them start to come, and then we get their addresses, and we start to build a friendship, really, with their families. So we've seen that again and again. This is a gorgeous little boy called Fode. And again, you know, when you're telling the children week after week in clubs, you're not really sure what's going in and what's not. And I'm sure you find that with the Sunday school and the clubs that perhaps you run here for children. And we were in an RE lesson in a year one class, and they had a supply teacher in that day, and we taught the lesson, we'd given them an activity to do, and while Fode was doing his activity, he stopped, he looked at the teacher, and he says, "Are you a Christian?" And you could see she went a bit red, and by her body language, she was a bit uncomfortable, and she said, "Well, probably." And he looked straight at her and he said, "Well, you either are or you're not." and then he just carried on doing his work. you know, I didn't say anything, but a little smile went across my face. And, you know, I happened to be there at that time, but often we don't see what the children are saying to their families. One of the other things that we started, and this might be an idea for you as a church, or maybe you already do it, I don't know, but I know some of the centres at Christmas time, I don't know if you know, but different churches that support the mission will have a toy service. So a missionary, they ask for a missionary to come, and people in the church bring new toys that have to be expensive, and they might put them all at the front, and a missionary will come, they'll preach, but they'll also say a little bit about their work. And basically then the missionary takes the toys back to their centre, and they find different ways to distribute the toys. Now, we do that. Some do it with social services. They work closely with their local social services as well. And what we did for the first time this year was we approached the school and we said, "Do you think there are any children?" We already know there is. But do you think there are any children that might benefit from having some new toys? Perhaps children who wouldn't get them, perhaps children are going through difficult times at home. And immediately it was, yes, how many can you give? And so we had 20 children, was it? Yeah. The teachers chose 20 children. It all got left a bit late, not from us, from them. And in the end, we agreed that we would put all the toys out in the centre. And this is just one section. It was amazing how much people gave. We put all these toys out in different sections, and they were allowed to choose from anywhere. And we had three teachers. They walked into the centre with them. They brought them over at lunchtime. And to see these children's faces was just worth everything as they walked through the door, and it was like, oh, wow, you know. And there was one little girl called Tola. She's very cute with lots of attitude. She walked in, and her eyes were just so big, and her head was just nodding like this. And the teacher, the way that they sort of got round it was they said that these children have been chosen for you know, really good progress in school and everything, but really, and then this particular girl, she probably wouldn't have got a Christmas present because she has a different faith, but also their mum has been seriously, seriously ill, and they're often not really, you know, don't really get to go out at all anywhere. So it was really, you know, because of her mum being ill. But she sat there, and as the teacher was explaining to us, although we already knew, saying, oh, you know, these children have been fantastic, they've made so much progress, this little girl was like this, you know, all the way through. She was just speechless, and just to see that. And she chose a musical tea set. And then we had another little girl called Kristen, who just stood, actually in this section, she just stood in the pile of toys, just staring at the floor. And after 5 minutes, while all the other kids were running around, what's this, I said to the teacher, oh, do you think she needs some help choosing? And she said she's just completely overwhelmed. She's probably never had a new toy in all her life. You know, so then the tears start, you know, you start getting welling up sort of thing. But the school themselves just, you know, probably only one person in that school out of the adults is a Christian. But the school themselves, it meant so much to them and as teachers and just a witness of God's love. And we were able to say to the children, these toys have been given by Christians, by people who love God and want to give a gift to you. And we were able to say that to all of them in the centre. So that's a project. I don't know whether you already do something like that or... but that's been something really special for us. We have a club called TAG Club, which stands for Totally About God Club. It's for our younger ones. But if you ask the children, what's the club called? It's Tuesday Club. So all the hours of, you know, coming up with this great spectacular name and doesn't mean anything to them really. The man in the corner there, that's my husband, Adrian. So I mentioned him this morning. And you can see that our main aim with all of these clubs is to share God's word with them. And we just pray that they'll come to know Jesus and they'll start to love him and they'll want to know him better and read the Bible for themselves. And often we're surprised when we go around and visit these children, Adrian will be talking a bit more about that, how many parents say, oh, this happened the other day, and they mentioned their child prayed for them or said we should pray about it, or don't worry, we should tell God about it. And you know, one of our challenges is because we have nearly all our children come from non-Christian families, they don't have any encouragement or church connection. And it's how do you disciple children from non-Christian homes? Without going behind their parents' back, we try to be very upfront about everything we say and we do. And yet it's really amazing to see these very young children and God is working in their lives. One of the things that we've been able to do is the youth Bible study to help them grow in their faith. And Trevor, over there on the left, he said one day he came into our club, into the younger TAG club after he'd left and he was in secondary school, just gone to secondary school. And he turned up at the end of TAG club and he started stacking all the chairs up. And I said, oh, that's really nice of you, you know, to come after school and help us. And I said, oh, you know, you could be playing PlayStation or whatever. And he said, well, that's what Christians do, isn't it? They serve God. They find something to do to serve God. And the more that we talked about him in the CV at the time, we were talking to him, and he said that he'd become a Christian one day in the TAG club. And he's brought along his mum to the centre, and she's recently had a very hard time with cancer. But we've been able to show God's love to him and to his family, and he's got an older brother as well. And then there's Florence at the top. She does go to church regularly. And then Michaela at the bottom. She's the one who's perhaps been a little bit difficult over the years. One of those children that you love and that you tell yourself to love. And yet, we have seen such a big change in her. She went through a time of bullying in school. We were able to chat to her about that. And to be able to talk to her family about it as well. And then we noticed we saw a difference, quite a big difference in her behaviour. And Margaret and Ian, who Emmanuel mentioned, they said, oh, it's been really good seeing Michaela come to church every Sunday evening for the last, I think it was the last 5 weeks or something before that. And I was like, is she? And then I was like, went up to her the next time I saw her and said, oh, you've been keeping that quiet, you've been going to church. And so she's been going along without her family and just been going along and she said, yeah, I really want to know God better. And it's mostly old people, isn't it? Older people. There's not really anyone, there's no one her own age or anyone near her own age, is there? So it's been very encouraging. And the people there, the Christians there, they're loving her. You know, they're just showing their love to her. And that's been really cool. We have holiday Bible clubs, and where's Stuart? Where is it? Oh, you're at the back. Yep, Stuart, we nabbed him for the week, and he came down, and we had a brilliant time. And We just had lots of fun. And again, the Holiday Bible Clubs, the reason why we have them, we try and do two a year, is to reach new children, the children that we wouldn't normally meet. And we're able to advertise in both the schools to every child. Treasure chasers. That was this year. Finding God is the greatest treasure. Girl Zone, that's Naomi in the pink on the left there that Emmanuel was talking about. He said, I can't believe that God made the world, but we're gradually seeing her change her mind. Again, it's just a club for that sort of age, and we're able to share the gospel, make friends with them. And another thing that God's really put on my heart, I gave my testimony this morning and said about how this couple had taken me under their wing. And there was two elderly couples in my church who, when I became a Christian, just used to invite me around for meals, spend time with me, encourage me in my faith, just looked after me. And it meant so much to me. And I'm just going to read a verse from 1 Thessalonians very quickly, if I can find it. And Paul writes, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you'd become so dear to us. And I suppose that's the way I sum up how I do my ministry. I want to share the gospel. I believe it's the gospel that's the power to save people. But also I believe it's right to share our lives with these people. You know, we're no different, really. We're just as needy as them. And just to be able to open up our home to families to come round, and we have big groups of children. Sometimes on a Sunday we can have we've had up to 25 come to church with us and come back for dinner. It's just such a privilege, and you know, they become our friends, not just contacts. And this is a particular family that are really on my heart, and I would love to see just God to save them.
Okay, do sit down. It's great to see so many people here this evening, just finding out about what we're doing. Thanks a lot for coming. Thanks a lot for listening. Before I talk a bit more about our work, I'm just going to read a passage from the Bible. Emmanuel's going to be bringing the Word of God to us a bit later, so let me just read this passage now, and Emmanuel's going to bring it a bit later on. So if you've got a Bible, feel free to turn there. I haven't actually got a church Bible, I'm afraid, so I won't be able to tell you what page it's on. Okay. It's Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this they covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. Okay. Well, it's been absolutely fantastic to be working in Greenwich for the last year. There's been some amazing times of blessing, like when we gave out the toys to the children, Leslie's already mentioned. It was just a fantastic time to see these children with huge smiles on their faces. And yeah, there's just been so many points in that. One child came up to me in school after I'd just told them a Bible story and said, that's my favourite Bible story forever now, or something. And it was just so lovely to hear that. I'm going to talk to you quickly about the Rock Club. This is our boys' club. We do it every Thursday. It's a very relaxed club. They just come in, we chat to them, we play games, we just befriend them, we become friends with them, talk to them about what their week was like. We have a talk each week. We've done the two ways to live gospel outline. We did that fairly recently, and now we're going through a scheme that sort of explains more about the Bible. And this last week we did prophecy, so explaining how the prophecies in the Old Testament link to the ones in the New, which is quite a hard concept to explain, but it's really good that they can listen to that and they can take it to heart. And yeah, just to understand the gospel. And I really enjoy this club. It's really good just to have a game of pool, table tennis, table football with these guys, just to chat to them. Most of them came with us to play football as well, with the football evangelism a few Saturdays ago, which was, again, really encouraging. And in fact, because of that football sort of outreach, we've had quite maybe a few new boys coming along. And especially one week where I was doing the talk, there were sort of about twice as many boys as there normally is. So it was quite unnerving. But they sat there really well, and it was just so encouraging to see these guys who they're usually on the streets, they're usually, you know, messing around, doing whatever. And they were sitting there listening to a gospel talk or a talk about the Bible. So it's just a really encouraging club for me to be part of and just to talk to these boys about Jesus. And I suppose they've grown to sort of like me over the last few months, I would hope. I suppose they don't know how to really react to people when they first meet them. They probably struggle to, but they're really friendly by the end, and they're just so loving. It's a really nice club to be part of. Let me talk to you. Visits. This is quite a big sort of part of our ministry, I would say. There's probably two sorts of visits we do. There's door-to-door evangelism, and then there's visits to people we know in their homes. So as far as door-to-door evangelism go, we go to the community around the centre. It's a sort of council estate style community, very mixed ethnicity. There's lots of different people there. So we go and knock on the doors. We take them a good newspaper, which is a paper. It's the one you might know. It's called Challenge in other places around the UK, but the London City Mission gets a special one printed called the Good Newspaper that we can take out and share with people. So we take that out and we tell people about what we're doing in this centre, invite them to come along. And, yeah, it's really good to see people sort of interested. Some people say they're interested to come along to the centre and then maybe don't turn up when we ask them to. But it's still been encouraging. We've recently been asking them what they think of the Good Newspaper that we've been handing out. And that's led to a really good conversation that we had with one guy who thought every religion led to Christ. So we had a good discussion with him, talking about all the different ones and what they meant and why is Christianity the best. So that was really encouraging. And also home visits. These are the slides for the home visits. People who come to our centre will go to their home. There was a family which Leslie put a slide up. Leslie often goes to their home and has fellowship with them, just chats to them, gets to know them. It's just their friend. It's nothing really sort of spiritual. She has really good discussions, but just to be a friend for her is so special, I think, just to really be such a good friend. There's a guy on the left called Julian, who came along to our centre interested in playing chess. And I suppose our relationship has evolved over the last few months. He's come to Emmanuel's house for dinner. Emmanuel put on a meal for me and Julian. Then we went through to the centre and played chess. And it's just really good to have discussions with him. And I think at one time, especially, we went to his house and we were just expecting to stay for a few minutes. But it ended up in a really good conversation, which lasted about two hours. So, yeah, that was another really encouraging moment. And then if you look down at the bottom, there's me and Emmanuel sort of handing out these worksheets. The idea behind this is that you saw the tag club that Leslie was talking about earlier. We print off a worksheet, or actually we call it a fun sheet. The parents call it homework. But we say, come on, do this fun sheet, and then we take it round to everyone's home. We give it to the parents rather than the children, and that's the whole idea behind the worksheet, is to get in touch with the family, to invite them along to our centre, it's to reach out to the whole family and not just to the children that come to our club. And we had a bit of incentive by saying, oh, if you bring these sheep back, we'll give you a prize. But the main task of those sheets is to get in touch with the parents of those children. I suppose one really personally very, very encouraging time that I've done with visits is at Christmas. I think it was the Greenwich Council. They gave us some money to give out to some of the families that maybe don't have as much, or they need more at Christmas. So we got the chance to take out, I think it was maybe four families, and it was £50 a family, which is a significant amount of money at Christmas, definitely. And just to see the appreciation on these families' faces, just to see the thankfulness, and yeah, to show the love that God has them by giving them this gift and not expecting anything in return, it's just awesome. Especially they're so overwhelmed by this gift. That was such an encouragement for me, and yeah, it really, really was an excellent time at Christmas. The Hallelujah Party. This is a special event that we put on once a year instead of Halloween party, because obviously there's lots of children, they love going trick-or-treating, they love going out there, but it's really, you know, it's not something that we should really celebrate because it's a sort of pagan festival, there's lots of evil that goes on during that day, it's not a good day, so we invite them along to church. We have a Hallelujah party instead of Halloween party. We do fancy dress, we do heroes, and our theme is that Jesus is the greatest hero, because he's died for us. So they can dress up. They can dress up as heroes. They come along, and we do it for 3 hours every October 31st. We've done it in a few different venues. The team at Greenwich have done it in a few different venues. I did it one, and in fact, Luke LaPlaine sitting over there, he came along to help. It was a great blessing for us. He came along and spent the evening there, just working with the kids. He had his own team, and it was great fun time. Here's a few of the children that came with us. One of them dressed as Spider-Man. I went as James Bond, and they said, but that's not a hero. But but there you go. that's again another really interesting outreach that we do. The object again is like the holiday Bible clubs, to get people that we don't normally reach out to get new children into our clubs. To get them off the streets on Halloween, fair enough. That's a good point. And to also give them the gospel. Really very important time. And I suppose the gospel's sort of changed me quite a lot this year. When I first came, you sort of said, right, I'm going to, you know, spread the gospel to these guys. But you realise that you need it yourself as well. You need refreshing with the gospel. You need to be blessed by it. And so, yeah, I've developed through, I can feel myself, I've grown through the gospel, as well as teaching it to everyone else as well. We're going to sing another song now, before Emmanuel comes up to talk to us about this passage. And it's In Christ Alone, and this song has just got so many powerful words, so let's sing it with a thankful heart, let's sing it with the mind of what God has done for us, and just pure thankfulness. So yeah, let's stand to sing.
Yeah, let's just pray before we look into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that we can read it in our own languages and understand it. And Lord, we explore this passage of your servant Stephen's death, I pray that you will reveal new things to us. And Lord, help us to be like you, reflect in our own lives your love, your kindness, and be like you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, let's look into Stephen's life briefly, some of the things that happened in Acts chapter 7 and earlier 18 read this for us. Yeah, let me say a few things before we look into his life. Stephen, first he was introduced in chapter 6, and he's the man who was chosen to look after these widows who were, there was problems with their food distribution, and Stephen was one of the seven who was chosen because he was man full of faith, Holy Spirit. It says in verse 5 of chapter 6, the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, we can see, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. He was a man that did miraculous signs. He was a man full of faith, full of Holy Spirit. And later on, in verse 13, we see that he is accused. And it also says that he was man who was given wisdom. He had wisdom. And we see he's accused. He had had theological discussion with people, but whenever he has this discussion, they, whatever questions these people ask, they fail, they don't have anything to say, and they're really fed up with him. So they plan to do something against him. So they bring in witnesses, false witnesses, and they accuse him. We see that there are similar sort of accusations on him, in, like they said, that he is he's blasphemous because he has said things against the temple and against the law. And similar thing we can see in John's Gospel, that Jesus was accused of. That when they said that Jesus, he said that in 3 days that he will destroy the temple and build it again. In John chapter 2, verse 19, it says that there is accused. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. And in other verses, we can also see Mark 14, verse 58, Matthew, in other parts of the Gospels as well, that Jesus was accused of similar accusations, that he talked about the law as well. But we see that Jesus said he hasn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. So similar accusation that Stephen is facing here. But Stephen is also reflecting Jesus. His teaching is the same. Jesus didn't talk about the building as a temple. He talked about his body. And so was Stephen was also talking about that. But here we can see that he is reflecting what Jesus had already taught. And then later on we also see that he is punished, he is stoned, and in Leviticus we can see that the laws about stoning, how people are stoned, who should be stoned, if it's a blasphemy, it says that there is in Leviticus 24 verse 14, it says, it sets rules by God how these people should be stoned. Whenever theological discussion fails, it can sometimes cause problems. Recently, we can see in the world, recently in Turkey, we heard that these missionaries, one German missionary, and others were Turkish Christians. They were holding Bible studies with some of these Muslims, and they didn't have a lot to say, I suppose, and they were having arguments. They were arguing with each other. They were discussing things, and they killed these missionaries. So these things also happen in today's world. Christians, those who faithfully give testimony, their beliefs in Jesus, their faith, what they believe in, have been persecuted and are being persecuted. So there are a couple of things that I want to bring out of this story of Stephen. First thing we see, there is so much anger within these people, these Sanhedrin, the court that is appointed according to biblical Old Testament rule, that in every city there should be a council that will take any cases that are related to biblical or religious matters. Sanhedrin, they have invited him to listen to him because he has been falsely accused by these witnesses. They do need two witnesses, and we see that from chapter 6 and chapter 7, the whole chapter 7 is full of Stephen's sermon, how he talks about all the history, and these people, they listen to him, and towards the end, when he says, he's also very bold. You see how bold he is. He calls them, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears." Earlier, actually, just when we see the book of Acts, when it started, when it starts, Peter is also doing the sermon to Jewish people, the people, and he tells them that you have killed God. You have killed Jesus. You crucified him. And in verse 37 of chapter 2, we see that it says here that when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." But here, NIV uses different words. It says, when they heard in verse 54, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth. In Authorized Version, it says exactly the same word. When they heard this, they were cut to their heart. And we see that earlier, when Peter was preaching to these people, they asked him, "What should we do? How can we be saved?" But these people, their response was, these are the leaders, teachers, they think they know everything. Their approach to the gospel is really anger, hate. And in previous case, their approach was humble. Their approach was accepting. What should we do? How can we have killed Messiah? We have killed God's Son. What can we do now? And Peter said to them that if you receive, you have to accept Jesus and receive and be baptized. And here they are so, they're cut to their hearts and they want to kill Jesus. Their anger, their angry response. They have a spirit of anger. And these are the leaders of Israel. These are the leaders. They are full of anger. When we approach people, we share our faith with them. Sometimes there are some people who are angry. They don't want to hear the gospel. They say, "Oh, this is all rubbish. This is all, how can this be true?" What they're doing is they're rejecting the free gift of God, that they can be saved. They can go to heaven. They can spend their eternity with God. And we need to also accept gospel humbly, like these people, like we have sinned against God, all of us, and we need to accept Jesus. And as we are body of Christ, we thank God that God has opened our eyes and we have seen that. There are some people that I remember some years ago I was doing doors And we gave this good newspaper earlier, Adrian was telling us about. And there was a man, I knocked on the door, and there was no response. And so I just posted through the letterbox. And along with that, we also gave a leaflet which explains all the program that we do. And I was coming out of the driveway, and this man came behind me, and he said, did you put this paper? I said, oh, yeah, I did. So I wanted to tell you about the activities we have and paper good news. And he was so angry, and he threw this paper at me, and he said, if I had gun, I would have shot you, and don't go around giving papers, because somebody would certainly shoot you. I said, thank you very much for your advice, but I'll carry on. But these sort of events, if you're asked to do doors, don't be put off. These sort of events don't happen. I mean, I've been doing doors for the last 8 years, so there are only one or two events that were like that. So if you're asked to do doors, don't be put off. That's a negative experience, but there are lots of encouragements as well. Yeah, and we also see that later in this same verse it says, and they gnashed their teeth. Gnashing their teeth. We see that in Jesus used these words when he was talking about hell. And we see in Luke 13, verse 28, Jesus said in verse 28, there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. So that's a picture of hell, gnashing of teeth. These people, because they're rejecting God, they're rejecting free gift of God through Jesus, they're putting themselves in the place which will lead them to go to hell. Second thing I want to mention is spirit of glory. Glory. We see that in opposite to this, this is anger of all these teachers, all these members of this court. But on the contrast to that, Stephen, he is so calm. He doesn't see the situation. He doesn't focus on the situation, but he focuses on Christ. He sees up, and he says that he sees Christ standing. We see that in these verses, we see that Stephen says Christ is standing. He sees Christ standing. Let's read these verses, that verse 55 of Acts chapter 7. Let's just read it again. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. And before that, we just see, he looked in verse 56. Look, he said, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So he sees up and he sees Jesus. Whenever we have difficulties, whenever we are in crisis, when there is difficult time, we should focus on Jesus. And that's the way that can bring us out of difficulties, out of crisis and into presence of God. We all have sometimes difficult times. We go through difficult times, worries, anxieties. There are issues. We need to focus on Jesus and remember that the glorious place that we will be. In Revelation, we can see the picture of that place. It says that in Revelation chapter 21, John says, then I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And the chapter goes on, and it talks, it gives picture of heaven, that there will be peace, no fear, no pain, no suffering, and God himself will live with us. And if we focus on that, that will certainly change our lives. We will know that we are going to that place. This is not eternity. This is only for a short time. We're going to spend eternity with God in a perfect place. And later on, the Revelation chapter, it goes on and it gives physical picture as well. That the walls will be made of all these beautiful stones. It names all the stones, and the roads will be made of gold. And this is the picture that certainly it's not, I don't believe that it's going to be exactly like that in heaven, but this is the most beautiful picture that we can think with our limited thoughts in this world. But heaven will be even more beautiful than that. And another thing we also notice that actually when he sees he sees Jesus in this chapter, he says that Jesus is standing. And in most of the places, whenever we talk about Jesus, we say, and it says in the Word of God, in most places, that Jesus, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we can see that in Hebrew chapter 1. Hebrew chapter 1, it says, it says that in verse, after he had provided purification, in verse chapter 1, it says that Jesus is standing, sitting at the right hand of Father. The Son is the radiance, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for his sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So we see here, and in other places as well, it says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of Father. But here we see that Stephen sees him, Jesus, standing, and we can see that Jesus is standing because Jesus is standing to welcome Stephen to come to heaven. Jesus cares about his people. He's going to give strength to Stephen for what he is going to face. Spirit of anger and spirit of glory. How Christians react in these situations. We see that in today's world, how different elements of different political or religious groups react. But I can tell you that a Christian who believes in Jesus, who has a Jesus in his heart, can die for somebody but would not take somebody's life. They can die to save but not die to kill. And we can see in today's world how other religions and how their teaching is happening, what they are doing and what world is doing. And these we can see in these two situations as well. And then we see that spirit of glory, spirit of anger, and spirit of forgiveness. We see Stephen when he is later on when he is taken out to be stoned. And earlier I was briefly telling about stoning. Leviticus gives the law. In Messianic tradition, they had a tradition that somebody, if they blaspheme God or Moses, they say anything against Moses or the law, they are stoned. And they have to have, minimum requirement is that they have to have two witnesses who would witness against them. And they take that person outside the city, so that person has to be stoned outside the city. And first that person is pushed into a hole, which into a cliff sort of thing, at least 10 feet down. So it has to be down. And that person is pushed down. And then that person is, if that person dies, because the at the bottom there are these rocks and stones, if that person dies there and then, that's it. But if not, the first witness throws a big stone onto that person. And then if that kills the person, accused person, then that's it. But next thing, if that doesn't happen, then the second witness throws another stone. But if that person still doesn't die, then the crowd, all this congregation of Israel, throws stones at that person. And Stephen was facing this situation. And even then, he is saying, Lord, forgive them. And he has spirit of forgiveness. Forgiveness from, again, it reminds us of words of Jesus when Jesus said on the cross, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And Stephen is doing a similar thing. Stephen is forgiving people who are stoning him. And that can only come from somebody who loves Jesus, that they can do that even in that situation. We feel different situations. Maybe none of us will ever face this sort of situation. But one thing we do face is every day people who are not Christians, people who are Christians, and how do we react to that people in minor things? If somebody's, maybe you're driving and somebody does something stupid, how do you react to that situation? Maybe somebody says something, or how do you react to that situation? As a Christian, how do we react to different situations? How do I react to different situations? Recently, we had been having some refreshers course, or we had this week that we had this American two evangelists or two the lecturers, they came and they were talking about the priorities, what's in our heart. Whatever is in our heart, that shows in our life. If Christ is in our heart, it will reflect in our actions. If it's other things, then that will certainly reflect in our lives. But certainly, we all do things that we shouldn't do, and God is gracious and loving, and he keeps on sanctifying us, and that sometimes takes a long time in our lives. In conclusion, I can just say that we need to follow, as Jesus said in John chapter 14, and verse 2, Jesus said to his disciples, in verse 2, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If there were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. To concentrate on the what is coming. To concentrate that we are not going to stay in this miserable place, world, which is not perfect. There are so many flaws, there are so many things that go wrong. We are going to go into to live in a world that's God is there, He's dwelling there, He's with us. It's perfect. Everybody is perfect there. There is no tears. There are no. There is no pain, no suffering, and everything is beautiful. And if we focus on that, God will be with us, and it will change our lives. And we see also in Stephen's life that he is filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Peter, we also see earlier, this morning we heard that passage, and it says in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So when we are in difficult situation, when we are in crisis, God pours His Spirit more than He would give us otherwise. And He gives us strength to face those situations. And then again, in Corinthians, we also see that Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong. And that's because of the Holy Spirit. And we need to love each other, show love, and that instead of what these teachers did. These teachers, they were so angry, and in their anger, they stoned Stephen. But one thing, in the same chapter, as we go on, we see that Saul is mentioned, and Saul is the one who is witnessing all the killing. He's there, standing there, and he's looking after these people's clothes, their coats, so they're leaving with him. And he's mentioned, and I'm sure you're familiar with the book of Acts, it starts with the new era of Paul, who becomes Paul. Saul, he becomes Paul. So God is God who can bring out of difficulties, He can bring great things. We see in this case, later on, this man who is involved in killing a believer becomes follower of Jesus, and he contributes to spread the gospel throughout the world. And also, because church is persecuted, the church spreads out. It goes out into the world and out of the city, and God has a plan. And later on, people don't believe why this man's soul has changed to Paul. And early Christians who heard that, they were afraid that maybe it's a trick, that he's going to get to know us and then find out about us and then kill us. But God has amazing plan how he works in this world, and we can really feel comfortable. We can relax that God is in power. He can bring great things even out of difficult times. These days, one of the fears we have is about this terrorism, about the difficulties, about different political situations. But we know that God is in control. So let's just pray.